that and you should experience that in your life. I remember a time at work. Now, it doesn't happen all the time, but occasionally this should happen in your life. And I was at work, and I just had that look on my face like I was up to something. And what's that look that you're up to something? You just sort of have a smile on your face. It's just like, that person must be up to something. They got sort of a grin on their face. And I was that way at work one time, and they thought I was up to something, but you know what it was? I was just being blessed by the Lord. I was just feeling good about this salvation. I was feeling good about the promises of God. I was feeling the joy of the Lord down in my heart and in my soul, and it was bubbling out. Amen. And that should happen in your life occasionally from time to time. Some people, it's almost a daily thing. You can just see it bubbling out of them, but you need to be full of the glory and of the power of God, and it bubbles out. It gets people's attention. Everybody else is grumpy and growly. You're just walking. You're whistling a tune. You're singing. You're just happy. That's the joy of the Lord down in your heart and in your soul. And I don't think there's any worse thing than trying to be happy and bubbly when you're really not feeling it. That's a terrible thing. That's hard to do, but you need to really feel this experience that you're having in the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you here this morning, amen, in Sunday school, our Sunday school books are all from yonder to wherever. We don't even know where they are, amen. But I hope you don't lose your Bible and all the transition and things we're going through with the church here, amen, with improvements that we're making. But if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want you to turn over to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. We're going to read the first 10 verses. Very familiar passage of Scripture here, and I'm sure you've heard many, many sermons on this, but I just feel impressed by the Lord to share this with us here this morning that are gathered here this morning. And we have some faithful listeners on Facebook that are not able to get into church here. Some are not even from the Kane area, from down in the St. Mary's area and different places that they faithfully listen every week. And so we thank God for that. Amen. They're a part of us, but because of difficulties, they can't be here. So what we want to talk about this morning, and this is the thought that we're going to share here this morning, is this. How is your hearing? How is your hearing? And so let's read this first here, and then we'll get into what God wants me to share with you today. 1 Samuel chapter 3, the first 10 verses. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes begun to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went, lay down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. And Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the way of the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I. For thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. Father, I pray that you will help us today, Lord, as we look at this portion of Scripture today, that, Lord, we will be encouraged by your word, God. Lord, that the words that are spoken will be words that you want spoken today, that we can grow thereby, God. Lord, and we will be listeners to you, God. We thank you for it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. And so, how's your hearing? That's a question, even on the natural level, that's very different. Have you ever had the experience of talking to somebody, and it's sort of comical when it happens, but you'll say, how's your hearing? And they'll say, what did you say? Well, you know how their hearing is. It's not too good. And so you've probably noticed how some people have, and we all have it at times in our life, we have what is called selective hearing. Selective hearing, it's a good thing once in a while. Okay? It's a good thing once in a while. And when you have that selecting hearing, you hear only the things that you want to hear. And the things that you mostly hear with selective hearing is you're going to hear something that's going to have a benefit for you. If there's a benefit in it for me, I can hear it. I have no problems hearing that. Selective hearing. If my wife says to me, hey, let's go shopping at Walmart, I might not hear that. Although I hear it, I don't really hear it. Hey, did you hear what I said? Because I don't acknowledge what she said to me, because that's usually not something that's going to benefit me unless she's going to buy me lunch along the way or something. So that is selective hearing. And so we all have had selective hearing, especially when we're children. We have selective hearing. We have little Casper here today. We have other children here today. If your parents say to you, go clean your room, you probably don't hear that because your parents will check later. The room's not clean. Hey, I said go clean your room. And then you get involved in something else. And they might have to tell you then finally they might have to threaten you with some kind of discipline. You will go clean that room. That's selective hearing. How do I know that's selective hearing? Because if that same parent said to you, hey, let's go buy ice cream. Man, you're right there at the door. You're ready to go. Or hey, let's go to the pizza shop. You're right ready to go. You can hear that because it's something that's going to benefit you. But a lot of times with our selective hearing, if we don't see any benefit for in it for ourselves, we just don't hear it. Although we hear it, it doesn't sink in. And so we've probably all have been guilty of selective hearing at some point in our lives. We've been guilty of it. We've been guilty of it. And there comes a point in life, and I'm there, because my hearing's not exactly what it used to be when I was younger. I'll admit to that. And so I can use the selective hearing thing and sort of blame it on that. They'll think, well, he just didn't hear me because he's getting hard of hearing. As I'm walking away, my wife might say something to me and I don't respond. And she's thinking, well, he probably didn't hear me because he's having difficulty hearing. And we can use that to our advantage. And as you're walking away, because I've done it before in different situations, and I ignored what they were saying, and I've heard them say, well, he's probably getting hard of hearing. But I heard every word they said. I just wasn't interested in what they were saying, so I would walk away. So we're going somewhere with this, so don't get upset about it. Amen? So we have selective hearing, us men especially. I'll tell on us men a little bit. For us that are here, that our wives are here, probably not wise for me to talk about this. But we as men, there's many times we have selective hearing with our wives. We just have selective hearing. Hey, the door needs fixed. Hey, the oil needs changed. Hey, the bathtub faucet needs fixed. Okay, that's an example. That's something that just happened to somebody here this week. And us men, we have selective hearing with that. We might not respond to it, but in our mind we're thinking, yeah, you know, what else is there? It doesn't do any good to put the honeydew list on the refrigerator because it just keeps getting longer and longer. Yeah, I know. I see it there. We have selective hearing. Especially when our wives ask us to do something that we're not interested in. And I have already alluded to that. I'm a busy kind of guy. I like to have hands-on and be busy doing things. And if my wife wants to go visit somebody, whether it's a family member or whoever, I might have selective hearing. Hey, didn't you hear what I said? I think tomorrow would be a good day to go here or there. Or this Saturday, let's go visit this one. Let's do that. And I'm thinking, I don't want to do that, so I won't respond to her. I have that selective hearing, although I have heard her. We do that many times. But do you know there are times that we also have selective hearing with God? We have selective hearing with God. God speaks very clear to us, but we don't see any benefit in it for ourselves. And so we just act like we don't hear what he's saying. And there's one scripture that's written over in, and I'm going to turn over there. You can if you want to. It's written over in the book of Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. And it says this, Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. This podium is not as easy for me to flip through the Bible here and find what I want. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 2. It says this, Son of man, thou dwellest in the midst of a rebellious house, which have eyes to see and see not. They have ears to hear and hear not, for they are a rebellious house. They have eyes to see and they don't see. They have ears to hear and they don't hear. And so God knows how we as people are. He knows our nature. He knows how we have selective hearing with each other. And we can all say, yeah, we do. He also knows that we tend to have selective hearing with him. Remember what I'm talking about this morning. How is your hearing with other people? But how is your hearing with God? Are you hearing what God is saying to you? I've said it this way before. How loud does God have to speak to you for you to hear it? As mother might say, son, not quite this with this much authority, but son, I want you to clean your room today. You don't hear that. Then later on, son, what did I say? I wanted you to clean your room today. Then finally, she's like, son, you go clean that room right now or there's going to be a price to pay. We're going to put you in some kind of discipline. We're going to put you in a timeout. Or it could be some kind of other punishment that you're going to do to them. God has to do that with us many times. God speaks to us many times in that still small voice. He nudges us. We know what he wants us to do. We sort of ignore it. We don't really listen to him. And we go on in life and we do our thing. And then finally, sometimes God has to speak so loud. It has happened to many people. Hopefully it hasn't happened to you. They have to come. Some come to a financial ruin before they realize, yes, Lord, speak because I'm listening to you now. Some people have to end up in a hospital on the flat of their back, some kind of a dire emergency that was unforeseen. And then they realize, yeah, God, now I do realize you're trying to talk to me. Now that I'm down and out, you can really talk to me now because I'm on the flat of my back. I can't do anything but talk to you. Or I've come to a financial ruin. I don't see any way out. So yeah, God, now I'll listen to you. It shouldn't get to that point in your life. But for many believers, it does because they have selective hearing with God. They're not hearing what God is saying to them. And God, throughout the scripture, God is saying many times, over and over again throughout the scripture, God is saying, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. I am telling you something. We do that as parents. Whenever we really want to stress a point to a child, we'll speak to them in that small voice. This is what we want from you. This is what we expect from you. And you expect them to go and do it. But if they don't, then you'll reapproach them and you'll get their attention and you'll say, now listen to me. This is what I want you to do. And as a parent, at times, you might even say to that individual, that child, we're using that example today, you might say to them, now repeat to me, what is it that I want you to do? Because you want to make sure that they are hearing you. And throughout the scripture, God is saying over and over in the scripture, listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. If you want life and you want it more abundantly, you have to come to me. The scripture is full of so many promises of the word of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 1, God uses the words, hear me. In Deuteronomy 6 verses 3 through 4, he's saying, hear, O Israel. In Isaiah 55, 3, he is saying, give ear and come to me. God wants us, he wants me, he wants you to listen to him. It doesn't do any good to know everything that God said if we're not listening to him. You can know everything that your parent has said to you. You can know everything that your wife or husband has said to you. But if you're not listening to them, it does no good. You can know everything that's written in the Word of God. You can know every expectation that God has for you. But if you're not doing them, that means you're not listening to him. God wants you to listen to him. At least 6 times in the Gospels, Jesus said, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, it's just like my wife uses this expression sometimes, even when she's talking to me. I'll make a confession. Confession is good for the soul. She said, I almost feel like I'm talking to that wall when I'm talking to you because I'm not getting any response out of you. Jesus said at least 6 times in the Gospels, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are we hearing what God is saying to us today? Are you hearing what God is saying to you today? Amen. some of our children. Amen. And think about this. Some of our children listen to us as well as we listen to God. And some of our children don't listen very well to us. And we get upset with that. I don't know what I'm going to do with my children, my child. It seems like no matter how many children you have, there's always one in particular that's going to have the tendency to cause you more grief than the other ones do. And it's like, how many times do I have to tell you this? But we're the same way with God. Some of our children listen to us as well as we hear and listen to God. And we get upset with our children because they don't hear and listen to us. How do you think that God feels when we're not hearing and listening to what He's saying? He gets frustrated by it, but He's a loving God and He keeps coming back. Amen. And so we need, amen, we want our children to listen to us. Why do we want our children to listen to us? Because it's going to benefit them. It's going to teach them discipline. You tell them, make your bed. You expect them to make the bed. Clean your room. There's a variety of other things that you can tell him. Tell your children, don't go here. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't say this. Don't look at that. And you tell them those things because it's for their benefit. That's why you tell them things. God, all the things that God has told us in His Word is for your personal benefit. It's for your personal benefit, and God knows that. Amen. And so this is why God wants us to listen to Him. He wants you to live a fulfilled life. He wants you to live a life in such a way that He can bless you. Many people aren't blessed by God because they're not living fully in the will of God and the way that God would have them to live, and you are cutting off the very blessing of God in your life. I don't want to cut off the blessing of God in my life, but if I'm not listening to my earthly father, I'm not going to receive all the benefits He has for me. And so it is with God. If I'm not listening with God and hearing what He's saying and doing what He wants me to do, I'm not going to have all the benefits that He has for me. And then many times we get frustrated. We see God blessing this one and blessing that one, and we're thinking, and we might say it to somebody, but we're thinking, God don't bless me like that. What, you know, how come I'm getting passed by on these blessings? Maybe you're not listening and you're not hearing God. Amen. You got to do what God wants you to do. And I had already talked about Deuteronomy 6 verses 3 through 4. God wanted them to listen, and the reason He wanted them to listen there, and it was dealing with the children of Israel, He wanted them to listen to Him so that it would go well for them. God wants you to obey His word so it will go well for you. God wants you to live a blessed life. He wants you to live a fulfilled life. He doesn't want you to have a lot of despair and have a lot of trials and temptations and things coming against you all the time. He wants you to be blessed. That's why He wants us to listen to Him. Amen. And so what is God saying in His word? God's saying in His word, and He's saying it throughout these scriptures that I'm sharing, not just in this way, but the message is there. I want to bless. God wants to bless. God wants to bless us with our heart's desires. God wants to bless you with your heart's desire, whatever it is. But He can't do it if you won't listen. You have to listen to what He's saying. It's not just all the promises in God's word. I can just grab them. He's going to bless me coming in and going out. He's going to do this. He's going to do that. He's going to make my crooked path straight. And all so many things we can say, but we have to do our part also. Yeah. We have to listen. Amen. I want God to bless me. I want God to bless you. But you have to listen to what God wants. Amen. It should be so simple to hear God's voice. He's your friend. He's your father. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. But you know what we do? We make it so complicated to hear God's voice. How do I know that's God's voice? How do I know that's God speaking to me? We make it so complicated. We make it so complicated. And the reason we make it complicated, you know why we make God complicated to hear God's word, to listen to God's word, to hear God's voice? The reason that we make it so complicated, because we are inclined to be deceitful. Why are we inclined to be deceitful? Because we follow our heart. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. You can't follow your heart. You can't follow your heart. You have to follow what the Word of God says. Oh, I'm going to follow my heart. I have a good feeling about it. I'm just going to go with it. You got to go with what the Word of God says. We make it so complicated to understand when God is speaking to us. Amen. You can't follow your heart. It's a shameful thing to do that, because the heart is deceitful above all things. And then what it comes down to, it's complicated to hear God, because we hear only what we want to hear. In the Word of God, all of us, we're only hearing what we want to hear in the Word of God. There's parts of it, I might not agree with it, so I'm just not going to go down that road. That's the way that people are. We have to be careful with that. So, and when we do that, you know what you're doing? You're putting yourself before God. God says, live this way. You're like, nope, I'm going to live this way. Whose way is more important? My way is more important. You're not hearing what God is saying. And so in 1 Samuel, the scripture, text scripture that we read this morning, in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, and if you'll notice there, Samuel heard God's voice. How did he hear God's voice? He was in the right place. He was in the right place. Samuel was in the right place. Therefore, he was able to hear God's voice. He was asleep. He was asleep close to where the ark of God was. He was in God's presence. He was close to the presence of the Lord. Therefore, he could hear the voice of the Lord. You have to stay close to Jesus if you want to follow him. If you want to follow him, he shouldn't have to holler in a loud voice to get your attention. He should be able to speak in a still, small voice, and you're going to hear him. James 4, chapter 4, and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. We have to draw nigh to God if we want to hear God speak to us. Amen. To hear God's voice and know his will, you need to be close to him. Amen. Have you ever tried to engage someone in conversation? Amen. When you're focused on somebody or on something else, you would try to engage someone in a conversation. I'm going to try to engage Brother Kyle in a conversation. He's got his Bible there this morning. He's focused on that. I'm going to try to engage him in conversation about a hunting trip or a fishing trip. I don't have his full attention. And it's frustrating when you try to engage somebody in conversation, you don't have their full attention. I get in trouble with my wife. I'll be sitting in one chair. We're old folks now. She's sitting in the other chair, and she starts talking to me. And she is right. I'll have to admit that. But if I have my phone in my hand, are you listening to me? Yes, I am. No, you're not. I don't have your full attention. Yep, I'm hearing everything you're saying. It's frustrating to her when she doesn't have my full attention whenever she's trying to speak to me. And when you try to speak to somebody and don't have their full attention, it becomes very frustrating to you. And so what happens to the one whenever you're trying to talk to somebody and you don't have their full attention? Amen. They get frustrated, and they may ask you, as my wife does to me, stop whatever it is you're doing and give me your full attention and listen to what I'm saying. And you're like, yes, ma'am, I will do that. You might not want quite to say it that way. That might not go down so well. But at times, we treat God this way. That's how we treat God. We go to church, but our minds are on other things, or on other activities, and we miss what God is saying to us throughout the day. We're missing what God is saying to us. I know I should read my Bible, so I'll read it. But man, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking about everything else I have to do today. And I just got to get this out of the way because it's the right thing to do. And we go to prayer and God, they tell me I should pray. So we're praying, and the whole time we're thinking about everybody else, everything else. Let me tell you a little secret what Pastor Eastman said he used to do. He used to take a little notepad with him when he would go to prayer. Because the devil's the devil, and your mind is your mind, and it works in mysterious ways. God works in mysterious ways, but so does your mind. And you'll get down, and you're really trying to focus on God, and all of, you got to do this, you got to make this call, you got to do that. So he defeated that. He'd take his little notepad with him, and he wasn't the whole time writing on his notepad, but as he's praying and trying to focus on God, something would come to mind. He would just make a little note on the notepad. I'll take care of that later. And he was able to focus on God, because when you're talking to God, God wants your full attention. Or you want God's full attention, right? When you're talking to God, you want God's full attention. You don't want God to be involved in everything else. And, hey, God, I'm over here. Hey, I'm over here. Please listen to me. We would get frustrated if it was that way when we're talking to God. But how frustrating it must be for God when he is trying to talk to us and he doesn't have our full attention. I believe he gets frustrated with that. It's like, man, I'm talking to them. They're not listening. They're not hearing. They're involved in everything and everybody else. And I really want to bless them. I really want to help them, but they're not hearing. We need to be careful with that. We need to be where God is, but we also need to realize that he is where we are. He's with us. And we need to listen for his voice when he speaks to us. God, are you going to speak to me this week? What is it that you want me to do? And we need to recognize God's voice. How do we recognize God's voice? Amen. We all have a telephone voice. I might talk this way, but I'm on the phone. I might be, if I'm at my place of employment, we put on that telephone voice. We put on a voice that when I call you, I can't see you, but when I call Brother Kyle, I know it's Brother Kyle that picked up the phone. I recognize his voice. Hopefully, when you call my number, if I happen to answer it, you know it's me because you recognize my voice. We have that telephone voice. We all have that telephone voice. Simply by the sound of the voice, you know that it's Pastor Tom talking to you. You know that it's Sister Sheena, Sister Linda, Sister Judy, Brother Tim, whoever. You know who is talking to you by the sound of their voice. They recognize that voice. And so if we are going to recognize God's voice, God speaks to us in different ways. Amen. When we have that close relationship with him, and then we're tuned in to God's frequency. So when God speaks to us, we recognize God's voice. We know that that's God speaking to me. That's God that dropped that thought in my heart. That's God that wants me to do this. That's God that wants me to say this word because he guides us this way. God wants to speak to us. Amen. So to recognize God's voice, we have to draw close to him. And we, how do we draw close to him? Start it out. You got to start somewhere. Start with regular Bible reading. Start with regular prayer time. God can speak to you as you are listening to good Christian music that can help you get into the mind of God, help you get into the Spirit of God. God can begin to speak to you. I don't know how it is for you when God speaks to you, but I know when I'm being touched by God, this is just my experience. Yours might be different, but I could almost feel a chill going down my spine. I almost can feel a tingle in my fingers like, man, that's God. God's ministering to me through that. He's speaking to me. It's the song that is ministering to me. It's the verse that's ministering to me. But it's God that's doing it through the song or the verse or even through a conversation that I'm having with somebody. You ever had a good conversation with somebody and you're really connected with them and there's almost a chill that goes down your spine? It's the anointing of God that's coming upon you. You're able to talk to them and words of spirit and words of life come to you and they go out to them because you have connected with them. And so we need to be able to recognize the voice of God. And you know what we need to do in this verse, chapter 3 and verse 10 of Samuel, not only recognizing the voice of God, oh, I recognize your voice. And we're going to be done here in a little bit. We need to give God permission to speak to us as Samuel did. What did he say in verse 10? The last part of verse 10, speak, for thy servant heareth. God, I'm hearing. What are you saying to me? Why is this verse blessing me so much? Why is that song touching my spirit so much? Why is the words that that one said just hit me right in the heart in a good way? And it's ministering words of life to me. Why is it? And we need to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Allow God to speak. Learn to allow God to speak to you. And you know how he speaks to all of us? I'm not going to pick it up because things will fall here. He speaks to every one of us every day through his written word. You have a Bible? That's God speaking to you. That's to you personally. And so, what do? In conclusion, we're finishing up here. We go to a doctor. We do this with God, too. You're going to see the analogy I'm making here. We go to a doctor. How are things going? We tell him about all of our health concerns. Okay? And then, after we tell him our health concerns, we just get up and walk away. Before the doctor even has a chance to address any of those concerns. Many times we do that with God. We get down in prayer, we tell him all of our concerns. We're casting all our cares upon him, for he careth for me. That's the word of God. It says to do that. But before he can help us in any of those situations, we're getting up from prayer and we're just walking away. God, here it is. I want you to help me. And then we just get up and walk away. It would be foolish to go to a doctor and tell him all of your problems and then just say, okay, I'll see you, doc. He's going to say, whoa, wait a minute, sit down. I have some help I want to offer you. God's the same way. We take our concerns to him. He has help that he wants to offer you. You need to take time and sit still and be still before the face of God so that he can speak to you. How does God speak to us? In many different ways. He speaks to us through the Bible. God can speak to you through your friends. Your friends can say a word to you and it's like, oh, you don't realize, but that I needed to hear that. God can speak to you that way. God can also speak to you by a thought that he puts in your mind. Well, I don't hear God's voice. I don't hear the audible voice. But God put a thought in my mind. Hey, go see this one today. Hey, give this one a call. This sort of goes along with what we're teaching on Wednesday nights. God speaks to us in that way. God can speak to you through a dream. You can have a dream at night. And if you wake up in the morning and can remember a dream, you can get into all those kinds of studies. It's something significant, probably. God can speak to us through a dream. We have to teach ourselves to listen and allow God to speak to us. You have to train yourself to listen and allow God to speak to you. It takes training because it's all one-sided for most of us. Hey, God, this. Hey, God, that. We presented all of these needs and prayer requests to God this morning, which is appropriate to do, but we don't give God a chance to respond. You got to give God a chance to respond. God wants you to recognize his voice so that when you hear his voice, you will listen to him. A child hears the voice of a mother, they will listen to that voice. There could be another woman there that'll tell a child to do something and they'll just ignore you. It seems like they have a selective hearing. They heard every word you said, but they're not going to listen to you. But when mother said, I said no, that child stops. They pay attention. Why is it? Because they recognize their mother's voice. Amen. We must be able to recognize the voice of God. And you got to remember this. God doesn't force himself on you. He's not going to force himself on you. God don't force himself on you. So what we must say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Amen. We need to surrender to his will. Surrender to the will of God today. What is it that God's saying to you? What is it that God's saying to you? You shouldn't have, in some situations like the request that the one family had here this morning, that's a different situation. But we shouldn't have to keep asking and asking and asking. God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to do? I'm talking about direction and guidance. God's going to answer you. God's going to respond to you. And remember what we're talking about today. How's your hearing? How loud does God have to speak to you to get your attention? Do you have to end up with a diagnosis of your health that's not good? Do you have to end up with a broken leg, a broken arm? Do you got to be in an accident? Does some tragic thing have to happen? Oh, God, now you got my attention. God wants to speak to us. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Sister Judy can come up. I want to sing this song in closing this morning. Speak the word, Lord. My ears long to hear you. Speak the word, Lord. My heart aches to know. Speak the word, Lord. I'll be what you'd have me to be. Speak the word, Lord, and your servant will go. God, just speak to me. God, I want to hear. I want to listen. I want to do what it is that you want me to do. We love obedient children. God loves obedient children too. And it should just be an automatic response to us to hear the voice of God and listen for the voice of God this week. What is he saying to you? Amen.